podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Welcome back to another episode of God's Mission Here, a podcast of the Office of National Mission. I'm the Reverend Dr. Heath Trampy, Director of Discipleship for the Office of National Mission. And I am joined today by Reverend Clark Jahnke, Senior Pastor of St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota. Pastor Jahnke has served at St. Andrew for 33 years, and you've served for 35 years in total. You seem way too young to have that many years of experience. And today we are discussing Shepherding Our Strays, which is a ministry to an actives workshop from the Office of National Mission. So, Pastor Jahnke, welcome.
Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. Now, I said that you had served in this parish setting for 33 years, but I'd love to hear a little bit more from you. Could you just give us a brief introduction of your parish setting?
Sure. Our congregation is unlike many other congregations in North Dakota, which are family-based, where the major makeup of the congregations are biological. The majority of our congregation is made up of members of other congregations that have different religious backgrounds or no religious backgrounds. Not only this, I'm guessing over the years we have about 10% of our congregation change at any given year. We're a bit of a bedroom community for the Fargo-Moorhead area with young families on the move, improving their housing situation, and so they move in and out. Many retirees moving to be close to medical care. I remember about halfway through my ministry that we had five families that were still charter members of the congregation, even though our congregation was just started in 1960. This has created a congregation where many of the members and their families are loosely connected. The greatest connection is with the members of their previous congregations who have joined later or previously. I don't know if you want me to go on a bit more with this?
I will just say that in other episodes this season, I've brought up that, you know, when I was growing up in rural Nebraska, I would go to church each week and I would see cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents, and pretty much everybody there was either a family friend or family. And I think that's changing in our, well, probably across the nation, really, that when a lot of people go to church, they may not have those immediate and easy connections. And so we talked a little bit about creating connections in another episode, but it is interesting that you say that's similar to your parish setting as well in West Fargo. And I would like to hear just a little bit more about your setting. I think this is really interesting for the listeners and might provide some nice context for the rest of what we're talking about.
Well, good. I also grew up in a congregation where the majority was basically two large families. So
yep.
But in our congregation, we also, our community, there is a large number of immigrants and migrants. It used to be because of the agriculture, there was a large number who would migrate here for work. A few of those families stayed over the years and ended up in our congregation. From the 1990s through the 2020, there was a large number of refugees from different countries, such as Iraq and Liberia and other African countries, as well as Chinese who had come here to study, especially at North Dakota State University. Our congregation has also served and welcomed them in various degrees, and there are a few who have joined over the years as well. Though we are mostly a mixture of European nationalities, with some non-Europeans, there are also a mixture of ages, much like a narrow Christmas tree. About one-third of our congregation is under the age of 18. However, social connections are loose at best. Deep relationships are with small groups or in other places than the congregation.
You know, I might find this more interesting than the typical listener, because I just finished serving a congregation in North Dakota myself. And one thing I regrettably did on my way to North Dakota was I sort of stereotyped what I was going to find there. And what I found was a great mix of peoples, a lot of people moving into our community and moving out. You and I both serve in what I would call larger communities in North Dakota. There's plenty of rural communities there as well. Yep. But for people who don't know much about North Dakota, it's good to know that there's quite a variety of what you might experience in that state. So how did your congregation find out about Shepherding Our Strays, specifically this Revitality module we're discussing today.
Well, I had originally heard about Revitality, and everyone has witnessed many times throughout various ways, especially when it first came out in Synod. I had shied away from it from various programs, well, after being involved in various evangelism programs over the years and developing programs, and the burden of being the sole pastor for many years, I was just programmed out. Mm-hmm. A member had been selected as a synodical delegate, came back from convention, and handed me a brochure on Revitality. I stuck it in my wishful thinking folder, and it kept catching my eye. Yep. And so that started the kettle boiling, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Grace Lutheran Church, a sister congregation, invited our area congregations to everyone as witness. I went and was convinced that we could do something. And then I had called Mark Wood, and we came up with a plan. And by this time, Shepherding Our Strays was, well, already, would you say, video-based, or that is self-directed.
I appreciate this. You know, we still make those brochures. We're always trying to make them up to date and you know, attractive looking. And one of the aspects of my role as the director of discipleship is I get to go to various conferences and conventions and stand at our booth. And we do hand out a lot of these brochures. It's kind of nice to know that they do make an impact. They might sit on the desk or in the file for a while, but they keep catching our eye. And eventually we go, you know, maybe I have the margin in my schedule now to give this a shot. Let's look into it. So we'll keep making those. I think that's good feedback. Yeah. Oh, good, good. Yeah, I will share with the listeners that the current Revitality modules are self-directed. Pastor Jahnke had sort of mentioned that himself. They come with a leader's manual, and they come with a series of helpful videos that guide the congregation through all the various steps of the workshop. All of this is available from the Office of National Mission free of charge upon request by the congregation. So, Pastor, how did you and your leaders determine that it was time for intentional ministry to inactive members?
Well, we had all come to the conclusion that something had to be done. Our congregation was slowly declining over the years. There were over 300 who had not been in worship by the time we started Shepherding Our Strays. It was a major concern stretching back decades. The pastor I served under was very concerned. He had worked with the Board of Elders and took the decline very personally. However, the immediate needs of the members, 3 services on a Sunday morning, large confirmation classes up to 30, programming and lack of enough volunteers resulted in his own needs not being met. So in visiting with Reverend Dr. Mark Woods, and he then suggested that we do a congregational assessment, or CADS, and see what our priorities would be. However, early in 2021, I started already introducing this to the Board of Elders, that is, Shepherding Our Strays. In each meeting, we went through a part of the section. One time we would do the video section, another time we'd do the discussion section so that our meetings wouldn't be too long. The elders were not only convinced something needed to be done, but God willing, we could do something in ministering to our straying and strayed members. Then in September 2021, we planned to take the congregational assessment, found out that our congregation basically was in section number 3, right in the middle.
Okay. And for our listeners who may not be as familiar with CADS, I will say it's an acronym. It stands for Congregational Assessment of Development Decline Status. Essentially, it's a 95-question survey that is taken by the congregation, and it takes about half an hour for each person to complete, and it yields data in 3 different areas, and it's almost like a health checkup. So congregations that undergo this know where to aim in the future. So in the case of Pastor Jahnke's congregation, it probably shared that inactives ministry would be a great place to put some attention, and so they started Shepherding Our Strays. Now, Pastor, I'm wondering how this particular ministry area, because Revitality covers a lot of aspects of a parish ministry, but this is about inactive members. And so I'm wondering how much this was affected by the pandemic. Now, the reason I ask is partly because I know it affected almost every church in some way. The other reason is I became a pastor in North Dakota just as the pandemic was getting started. So I got to my new congregation I was still learning the names of everybody in leadership, and the pandemic hit. And all of a sudden, these people that I had just met were not able to worship with me in the building for a short season. Now, it was a very short season. I do thank God that we were in North Dakota, and a lot of the laws and legislations were reasonable, in my opinion. But it had a big impact on us, and I really think it made our inactives ministry much more complicated. So could you just speak a little bit about your own setting?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. It had a lot of impact. Though we had little disruption of the Word and Sacrament ministry at St. Andrew, it was basically from March 18th to May 18th that we weren't able to meet in person. And we had the blessing of having two pastors working together with the Board of Elders to offer ministry of Word and Sacrament. There was very little contention in our congregation about what to do. We were willing to adjust, and North Dakota was open for people, as you said, to be served. However, the aftermath of COVID was not kind to our congregation. The over 300 who weren't worshiping before certainly didn't return. However, live stream became a crutch for some. Others, it was necessary because health concerns that had developed or were accentuated because of COVID. Still others, it was just too easy to stay home or to do other things.
It was an unfortunate consequence of what was actually a very helpful tool, you know, live streaming the services. It's a wonderful tool for people that are sick or injured or maybe even traveling. Although I'll tell you, when my folks traveled, I tried to get them into an LCMS church in another community. But it also, like you said, became a bit of a crutch for some people, maybe as they had anxiety about leaving their houses to go shopping or, you know, to go to the bank. They also started to have some reservations about coming to church to be with other Christians. And so I think that did make sort of the inactive issue that many congregations have just that much more complicated because of the pandemic. Now, using the biblical imagery of a flock of sheep, what's more, you know, gospel language than sheep and a shepherd? Shepherding our strays places the members of congregations into four different categories. Safe is category one, at risk, straying, and strayed. Would you mind giving a brief explanation of each of those categories?
Yeah. So the safe category are those that are really close and connected. They're really involved in worship, participate in Bible study. They may be serving in a ministry role. Certainly member of a group, and they are also involved in other activities of the congregation, which is really a joy to see. And, yeah, you know, those are the safe ones, the 99 that we don't have to go after, right?
Right.
Yes. The at-risk group, they're close, but not closely connected. They are those that are active in worship, but you don't see them in Bible study. They're not serving in a ministry role. They're not a member of the group, and there's little involvement in the other activities of the congregation. Basically, show up on Sunday morning, and then you don't see them again.
And that's a lot of worshiping members for many churches, so we do understand that for sure.
Yes, indeed. Then there's the straying group. They're not close, and they're losing connections. We'd call them short-term inactive, saying absent from a month to 6 months. They're increasingly absent from worship. They have dropped out of Bible study. They are not participating. And this is a big one I've seen over the years. They have resigned from a ministry role. You know, yeah, that is always a signal to watch out, especially when they've resigned.
Yes.
They stopped participating in groups and have reduced involvement in other activities of the congregation.
Okay. That's a good explanation of that one.
Then there's the strayed group. They're not close. They're not closely connected. They are long-term inactives, say gone more than 6 months. They are no longer active in worship, no longer active in Bible study, or serving in a ministry role, or in connected to a group, and not participating in other activities of the congregation.
This last group in particular kind of breaks my heart. I had served in a couple of settings where the pastor before me had in some way, shape, or form polarized the congregation. So when I got to my congregation in Nebraska, there were some people that were sort of frustrated about his leadership. And we worked very hard. To my shame, I did not use Shepherding Our Strays in the ministry, and I really wish I had. And that's kind of why I'm sharing this. We did manage to sort of get our inactives ministry in shape in that congregation. I would say we maybe only had one or two dozen people that were inactive, and we more or less knew where they were, so they weren't lost and you know, unattended to. But then when I got to my congregation in North Dakota, the indiscretion had left a big scar on the congregation. And so even on our best week, we were missing about 1,000 people. And it really broke my heart. And I do think large congregations maybe have a different level of need for inactives ministry than some of the smaller congregations. It's not that we don't all need to be attentive to our inactive members, but if you have 1,000 people not in church on Sunday, that probably needs a lot of attention, would be my thought. And so I share my own experience just to say that depending on the parish that you're in, this could be a real pressing need. And we'd love it if people would go through CADS and discover that in an official way. But if you know your congregation may not be interested in CADS, but this sounds like something you'd really like, I do want to encourage the listener to reach out to the Office of National Mission, and we can send you some samples so that you can see what this is about and maybe encourage your congregation to go through this as well. Pastor Jahnke, how important is it to be sensitive in how we discuss inactive members?
Nobody likes to be called a delinquent, an inactive, let alone dead wood, as sometimes we've referred to them in elders' meetings. Nobody likes to be addressed when returning with, "Boy, it's been a long time since we've seen you," especially if they're very hesitant, and sometimes that's the last time they come back again.
That's fair. We do need to be sensitive to this, and in that regard, I would recommend this even more because Shepherding Our Strays get tools for doing this in a loving and caring way. And we'll get to that word care in just a moment. Earlier, you had said that you were at a point in your ministry where you were sort of wary of programs. Pastors, for those who are not ordained, who maybe don't know this, pastors get kind of bombarded with the next greatest thing. And it can be kind of wearying. And after a while, you become a little skeptical about the effectiveness of what this next great thing might actually provide in your setting. And so the way I'd like to say this, people might be wary of what looks like a box program or what might be called a box program that claims it can help with inactive members. But how is Shepherding Our Strays different?
The neat thing about Shepherding Our Strays is, just like everyone has witnessed, is that both programs are relational. Yeah, sure, they come in a box, but when you leave, you are, well, you've been taught about listening and caring for the needs of others, and then how to connect them to Word and Sacrament ministry.
And just to defend the Office of National Mission, it's hard to mail something without putting it into a box. So even though that is technically true, it is not a quote-unquote box program. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing that. Now, a big part of this module workshop exercise is the creation of a CARE team, C-A-R-E, CARE team. In this case, it stands for Concern, Attention, Re-engagement, and Encouragement. Can you just speak to a CARE team just briefefully?
So the CARE team is the one that you would say organizes and keeps the system going, keeps the relationships on track, and this includes your visitor team as well. Our leadership team here at St. Andrew consists of a team leader, a liaison, a coordinator, a spiritual advisor, which is myself. We've gone ahead and added another, and that is a trainer that will keep the program going.
Thank you, Pastor. Are there any best practices from this experience that you'd be willing to share with the listeners? And then kind of a two-parter, when would you recommend Shepherding Our Strays to a pastor and a congregation?
Like I said, we added a trainer as well because we feel that we need to continue identifying people who would do visiting and to continue to add to our team. So keep training, promoting, and praying. Matching visitors to the one who is strayed.
Can you explain that
important.
A little bit to me?
Okay. So we do profiles both of the visitors and of those who are going to be visited. And so the qualities that the visitor has is going to be matched with the qualities of the ones who is being visited. And so if there are common ground between the two that can help each other, that's very important and helpful. You don't always have that, but it's very helpful when you're visiting another person.
Something that came up in a previous episode was the word intentionality. There's a lot of intentionality to all of this, and feels like kind of a game changer when we're really focused and aiming in the same direction with something like that. Sorry, keep going. I'm loving this.
Oh, that's good. The handwritten note can be a pain to coordinate. That's part of the process. But those handwritten notes are valuable. They tell people that you care personally more than, you know, when it's copied off and there's no signature involved. Don't dispense with them. Insist on them. Keep making sure that the handwritten note is done.
I will just share at this point that I never went through shepherding our strays as a pastor, as I'd mentioned, but handwriting notes is such a game changer between pastor and congregation, also pastor and visitors or another leader and visitors. I would buy a pack of 100 thank you cards probably two or three times a year and go through them all. And it was something to hear people say, wow, getting that handwritten note really meant a lot to me, when it might only take about 5 minutes of your time. And so it really is a wonderful return on investment. And I'll let you keep going. Thank you for letting me share that.
It sure is. Also, do the CADs before you start. A few years into the program, the assessment tool is valuable to see where you've been and has there been any change? And I would probably add, are there other things that you need to change in the future, maybe switching programs that Revitality has to offer? Mm-hmm. We haven't done this part yet, but I believe incorporating other elements of Revitality assists in supporting the work of the congregation. And I would really encourage the Office of National Mission to commit to Revitality for the long term. This needs to be the 20 to 40 year program to reap the full benefits in a congregation.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement. And I, you know, just to let the listener know, I did not make him say that. He chose to say that all on his own. But I certainly agree. You had mentioned taking the CADs more than once. Obviously, churches don't have to do that. They can take it the first time and kind of live in the results. But, you know, using the health checkup metaphor, if I go to the doctor and, you know, the doctor encourages health and exercise and eating well, and I lose some weight and I'm feeling better, maybe the next time I go, I have a completely different set of things to focus on. And I'm actually doing great in the area that originally needed to be addressed. So I think for churches that are interested in this, taking the CADs every 3 years, every 5 years, even every 10 years could be a blessing. And like Pastor Jahnke said, you might be doing the Shepherding Our Strays ministry to inactives and realize, wow, we could really be doing a lot of outreach in our community. Let's look into Connect a Disciple, and there's others as well. Here at the end of our conversation, I just want to remind listeners of how they can look into Shepherding Our Strays. We will have links in the show notes for easy access to more information. You can also contact the Office of National Mission, the International Center, certainly me directly, and we will point you to the right place. This self-directed module is free of charge, and it consists of 6 sessions. Well, Pastor Jahnke, I have greatly appreciated our conversation today. I think the listeners will get a lot of value out of it. Is there anything else that you want to share here at the end?
No, I don't have anything to share. It's just been a joy being with you and conversing with you and to see you again, you know, even though you're several states away now.
Likewise, I'm grateful for the online connections that we all have, because now you and I aren't seeing each other at the regular pastors' conferences. And I do miss that. Those were fun times. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening in. We pray these discussions will prove fruitful for many.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.